Thank you for being in church this evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 15 tonight. We'll continue our study in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. We moved off chapter 14, studying the life of Abraham and the introduction of the tithe to Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus personified in the Old Testament, according to Hebrews chapter 7. And we move into chapter 15, and we find within this chapter that God affirms his promise to Abraham, his commitment to Abraham. And let's note here in verses 1 to 3 it reads, Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 3, "After these things the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." We have within this chapter God affirming to Abraham the fact that God will provide and God will do what God has said he would do. And I'd like for us to focus upon that simple thought tonight, that God will provide and God will do what he said he would do. It's interesting in verse number 1 that God said to Abraham, "Fear not." Oh, God knows our hearts, does he not? He knows our hearts. He knows our ups. He knows our downs. He knows our emotions. He knows when we're a little bit anxious. He knows when we're fearful. And God here said to Abraham, "Fear not. Fear not." He comes from a high in chapter 14. Now, we don't know what time there is between the events that took place in chapter 14 to chapter 15, but no doubt time was pushing on for Abraham. And God, knowing his heart and God's timing is always perfect, God said to Abraham, "Fear not. Fear not, because I am thy shield," verse number 1. "I am your protector." A shield speaks of protection. And then he also said to Abraham, "Abraham, fear not, I am thy shield, and I am thy exceeding great reward. I will bless you, I will benefit you, so fear not, fear not." And then in verses 2 and 3, Abraham shares the fear of his heart. The fear of his heart is that he, to this point, his wife is childless. He's yet to have that heir to pass on the sonship to. And he said to God, "I go childless, and I have no child of my own to this point." And God gave him the assurance there in verses 4 and 5, where he said, "This shall not be thine heir." This child that is not from your own loins will not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Abraham, fear not, I will provide for you. You will have a son from your own bowels. You will have a blood son. And then in verse number 5, the Bible reads that he encourages Abraham once again. He said that he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." So you can just imagine, Abraham is no doubt fearful, he's apprehensive concerning God's promises. He has yet to have his own Sheol from his own loins, and God said, fear not, you will have a son. And then God brings him out, no doubt a clear evening, and he points Abraham to the skies, and he said, just try numbering the stars, Abraham. Impossible to number all the stars, and yet your seed will exceed the stars that I've created. So shall thy seed be. You won't be able to number the fruitfulness that will come from this promised son that I will provide for you. So Abraham, fear not. And let me encourage you this evening, fear not. Fear not. God will provide. Fear not. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 6, Abraham's response. It reads, and he believed in the Lord. He chose to believe what God had said to him, that God will provide, even though time was pressing on, and he had no child from his own loins, he chose to believe God. And may God grant us the grace to believe God. God is big enough that we can believe in him. God is large enough that we can believe in him. He is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. Abraham believed. He chose to place his faith in the Lord. And the Bible goes on to teach in verse number 6, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So with this time of fearfulness, God affirmed to Abraham, yes, you will have a son, and your son will be a fruitful seed, and it will be numberless like the stars of the sky. And Abraham chose to believe God's word. And may God grant us the grace to believe the word of God. During those times of fearfulness, anxiety, may God bring us back to the Word of God and simply believe what God has said. Abraham, the Bible teaches us, he believed in the Lord, and the second part of verse 6 reads, and he counted, that is, God counted it to him for righteousness. So within this verse, we see that Abraham believed in the Lord. He literally placed his faith in the God of the heavenlies. He placed his faith in the God of creation. This God that had called him, he came to a point where he placed his faith in the God that he claimed that he worshipped. The one that he turned to, turning his back on the gods that he grew up with, and he placed his faith in Jehovah God. And it's this account here in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6, that the Apostle Paul makes reference to in Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4, verse number 3. Romans chapter 4, verse number 3. Within this chapter, the Apostle Paul affirms the fact that a man is justified, made righteous before God by faith and by faith alone. And he points back to the confession of Abraham. Note then verse number 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Note then verse number 4 and 5. Now unto him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So the Apostle Paul uses the confession of Abraham to affirm the fact that we are righteous, we are made just and righteous before God by faith and by faith alone, without the works of the law. The law condemns man. By faith we are justified before God. Abraham believed in the Lord and he counted unto him for righteousness. So if there's a point of salvation in the life of Abraham, it would have to be at this very point that Abraham places his faith in the God of the heavenlies. He places his faith in the God of creation, Jehovah, God. Abraham confesses him as his Lord and his Savior, and the Bible teaches us that he was God counted unto him for righteousness. And when you compare Scripture with Scripture, you note there in Romans chapter 4, in fact Galatians chapter 3 as well, from memory, and James chapter 2 makes reference to this very fact, Abraham's confession. So Abraham was converted, as we understand, conversion, salvation, on this very day. That God confirmed to him that you will have a son, and his seed will, your seed will be without number, Abraham. Fear not. So I'd like to encourage you this evening, fear not. Fear not. God will provide. The Lord is my shepherd, said David, I shall not want. God will provide. Because we are human, and because we still battle with the flesh, we all from time to time have fears, have anxieties. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty. And the Bible is encouraging us this evening, fear not, for I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And God comforted Abraham, and he promised Abraham that I will provide a son for you. Though Abraham could not imagine it, no doubt Abraham was doubtful because he was fearful, but God said, I will provide a son, and that settled it for Abraham. He said, okay, I'm going to stop being fearful, and I'm going to believe once again, that you will do what you said you will do. God keeps his promises. I will provide your needs. And my friend this evening, let me encourage you, fear not. God will provide. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He is God and Lord of all, and God will provide. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. So God said to Abraham, fear not, I will provide for you. But secondly, we note within this chapter that God said to Abraham, fear not, because I will do what I've promised you. I will do what I've promised towards you. I will not only provide for you, but I will do what I've said I will do. And that takes us to verse number 7. Where he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. I'm the one that led you out of Ur. To what end? To give thee this land to inherit it. So God said to Abraham, Abraham, fear not. I will provide for you, and I will keep my promise to you. I led you out of Ur. I led you out of Babylon, and I've led you to give you a land to inherit. And then in verse number 8, Abraham said to the Lord, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? So here in verse number 8, Abraham asked for a sign. And then God said to Abraham, I want you to take a heifer, a red female cow of 3 years old, a she-goat, a female goat, and a ram, a male sheep of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and also a young pigeon. And then God said, and he took him all these and divided them in the midst. He cut them in two. And the Bible teaches us, and he laid each piece one against another. So he took these 5 animals, By the way, these five animals are mentioned here for the very first time in the Bible, all within the same verse. Don't believe me, just look it up, but not now. First time, the heifer and the goat and the ram and the turtle dove and the pigeon, they're all mentioned for the very first time in the Bible, right here in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 9. And Abraham took these five and he killed the five. And as for the heifer, the goat and the ram, he cut them in two and placed them side by side so that the blood would flow between the corpses. Then he took the turtle dove and he took the pigeon, one either side, and the blood would flow. And this was a part of a Jewish tradition. It's mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 34, verses 18 and 19, where in making a covenant between two individuals, those two individuals, to affirm that they will keep their word, they would slaughter life, and then they would both physically walk barefooted through that blood to prove that they will keep their promise, and if one failed to keep their promise, then blood will be required of them. So it was a very serious Jewish custom to kill life, to shed blood, and for you and that individual to walk barefooted through that blood, affirming the blood be upon my head if I don't keep my word. It was a very, very serious commitment. So Abraham asked God the question, prove it to me that you will give me a land. How will I know? Oh, we are so feeble, are we not, at times? We want God to affirm what he has said he would do, and Abraham was no different. So God took Abraham through this custom that he was very, very familiar with, and the blood was shed. And the Bible goes on to teach in verse number 11 that when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. So you can just imagine, Abraham inherited some visitors that wanted to pick up the pieces. And he spent his energy driving them away. And look at verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And then God spoke to Abraham once again. He said, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. He's referring to the time in Egypt, the 400 years in Egypt. And he goes on to say, verse number 13, and they shall afflict them. Verse 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. I will judge the Egyptians. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. And thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I'll judge wickedness. So God said to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to keep my promise. But there will be a season that your people, your seed, will suffer affliction. And God foretold to Abraham the events that took place and climaxed in the life of Moses, who led God's people out of Egypt. God said to Abraham, I will give you the land, but your people will spend four generations, 400 years, you'll spend
under captivity, but I will deliver you. And I will judge those that have treated you unjustly and in an ungodly fashion. So you'll come through a time of affliction, God said to Abraham, but I will give you the land. Now note in verse number 17, so God reveals to Abraham some foresight concerning his people, and this seed that will be innumerable, and what God will do, but yet in all that, they will, God said to Abraham, your people will go through some affliction. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, a fiery furnace, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, from the river of Egypt all the way down south unto the great river, the river Euphrates north. So we see within verse 17, God manifests himself in a fiery furnace, in a lamp, and God himself, barefooted so to speak, walks through the blood alone. That blood that was shed, it's God that said to Abraham, I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. The blood be upon my head if I don't give you what I promised to give you. What a wonderful event. A wonderful manifestation of God himself. Now how it all took place, we don't know. But by faith, the Bible teaches us that a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. So the Jewish tradition was the blood would be shed, the carcasses would be rested, and the blood that flowed between the dead carcasses, if you were making a commitment with an individual of substance, then barefooted, you would both walk through the blood, making a solemn commitment that I'm going to keep my word, I'm going to do what I've promised you, and if I do not keep that promise, then the blood is upon my head. And here God himself takes the initiative, makes a covenant with Abraham. He doesn't invite Abraham to walk through the blood. Isn't that interesting? Because keeping promises is not about us, it's about God. Is it not? God is the one that promises. So God walks through the blood as a fiery furnace and as a lamp, the Bible teaches us. And God makes a commitment, a covenant with Abraham. And says to Abraham, to your seed I will give you the land as far south and as far north, just as I have promised. So fear not. My friend this evening, fear not. Fear not because God will provide your need. No matter what your need is at this very time, no matter how large your need is, God will provide. And let me encourage you this evening, fear not. God will not only provide our needs, God will do what he has promised he will do. God said to Abraham, I'm going to lead you out to lead you in. That's what I said I would do. That is what I will do. Jesus Christ said, I will come again. Praise God for that. So fear not, Jesus Christ is coming again. God will do what he has said he will do. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. God said it, that settles it. And I'd like to encourage you this evening, from the life of Abraham, beloved, fear not. God will provide. God will do what he has said he will do. And may God give us the grace and strength to cleave unto the word of God, to cleave unto his promises. Because Abraham chose to believe, though he doubted. And so likewise we doubt from time to time. May God give us the grace to believe the word of God. So God spoke to Abraham directly. The word of God spoke to Abraham directly and said to Abraham, I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. Fear not. I will provide for you. Yes, you will have a son. You will have a seed that will come from your very loins. And that seed will be without number. Without number. And Abraham, fear not. I promise you the land. I will give you the land. And I make my commitment right here by walking through the blood. I will personally make a covenant with you, Abraham, by personally walking through the blood. That's how sure God's promises are. My friend, the Bible's full of promises. So fear not. In hope of eternal life that God promised before the world began. Fear not. God promised eternal life. God doesn't lie. He promises never to leave us. He promises never to forsake us. He promises to give us power to be an effective witness. He promises to give us grace to do what he calls us to do. God's calling is God's enabling. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So fear not. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Fear not. God will do what he has promised. God will provide our every need. And that is the essence of Genesis chapter 15, where God affirms to Abraham, Abraham, there's nothing worth being fearful for. Because I will provide your needs. I will provide a son. And I will keep my word, and you will have a land of inheritance. Now practically Abraham didn't enjoy the extent of the land in his day. But there will come a day in which you and I, as the saints of God, will return with Christ. And we will reign with Christ over the earth, and we will enjoy the full extent of this promise given to Father Abraham. Because by faith we are children of Abraham. The Apostle Paul makes reference to that. Because Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So he is our spiritual father. In a spiritual sense, we are children of Abraham. And as children of Abraham, beloved, fear not. God will provide. And God will do what he said he will do. Are you fearful this evening? Is there something within your own heart that is troubling you? Let me encourage you with the words of our great God. Fear not. I am thy shield. And thy exceeding great reward. And it's from this event that takes place here in chapter 15, we find that Abraham moves on and moves on to the next level of his walk with God, trusting, looking to God to do what he had promised and to provide also that which he said, I will provide for you. So let me encourage you this evening, fear not, beloved, God will provide and God will do what he said he would do. It's a good habit, a good discipline for you and I as you read through the Bible. Take note of the promises of God. There's thousands of them. The Bible's full of promises. And cleave unto them. Because God, who cannot lie, promised. We serve a trustworthy God. So let's trust him this evening. Let's bow for prayer.